HanselMinutes.com. It's Hansel Minutes, a weekly discussion with web developer and technologist Scott Hanselman, hosted by Carl Franklin. This is Lawrence Ryan announcing show number 39, recorded Monday, October 30th, 2006. Support for Hansel Minutes is provided by Codesmith Tools, makers of Codesmith, an extensible template-based code generator for .NET. Hansel Minutes listeners get $100 off Codesmith Professional with coupon code HM100. Online at codesmithtools.com. And by Slash N Software Red Carpet Subscriptions, the most comprehensive solution for adding connectivity to your .NET and ASP.NET applications with components for every major internet protocol. Online at www.nsoftware.com. Support is also provided by .NET Developers Journal, the world's leading .NET developer magazine. Online at www.sys-con.com. In this episode, Scott and Carl talk about identity.
Hi, this is Carl Franklin. You're listening to Hansel Minutes. I'm here with Scott Hanselman. Hi, Scott.
How are you, sir?
Identity. Card spaces is the topic today.
Was that your Sean Connery?
Identity.
Today, comrades, just wish sail into history with Identity 2.0. Yeah, dude, this is all about card spaces because we've been we talked about doing a .NET Framework 3.0 show, but we all know that the framework's too big.
Right.
To do it in a short Hansel Minutes double speed 20-minute podcast, so we're going to do it in chunks.
We also know that it's really not a framework. .NET for 3.0.
Yeah, it's a collection of pillars, right?
New features.
These were the new features. So we've got card space, we've got Windows Presentation Foundation, we've got Windows Communication Foundation. So Avalon, InfoCard, and
Indigo
were the code names. So at Carillion, we're really interested in card space because, you know, we do online banking.
Big time.
And banks are always getting phished. They're always getting attacked by people who get their names and their passwords stolen.
Right.
And we encourage people to have stronger passwords. We encourage people to have passphrases, right? Add a space and have a big, long password that's like 20, 30 characters long.
Mm-hmm.
But these are still just things that you know that can be stolen from you. You can be tortured and you could give them up.
Right.
And generally, identity on the internet is broken. You got identity theft. There's spoofing and man-in-the-middle things. And there's evil malware that could be running on your machine. And it's pretty clear that the username and password mechanism is overwhelmed. I mean, just the fact that we've got password manager programs, you know, programs with a super password that are set up to manage your other passwords, it just doesn't really work, right?
Yeah.
So the whole idea is, what's a better way to identify both the user to the site and the site to the user? Because you know, a lot of times you go to a site and you don't know if you trust this site. Maybe it's a blog. I don't want to go and sign up on a blog. I don't know about you, but I don't want to sign up with a blog and give them yet another username and password just for the privileges of leaving a comment.
Exactly. Right? The less signups I can do, the better.
Exactly. So then we get down to these kind of main signups. And then, of course, Passport, Microsoft Passport, was kind of an attempt to centralize all of that. But the problem was it was managed by Microsoft. It wasn't the fact that it was Microsoft, but it was the fact that it was a single entity that will handle it. They were basically saying, just give us your username and password, and we'll come up with a tricky way to single sign you in to all these different places.
And we'll keep your credit card number on file and all your business information, all your personal business info.
Right. We'll hold all your stuff.
And the response was a resounding, yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah. It worked technically. Like, I used it for Expedia and for eBay, and that was pretty much the extent of it. But I just didn't feel comfortable with it. Because, you know, you never know. I don't think that Passport was phished successfully, but it's easy to make a site that looks like the site that you want to go to. So phishing is a problem. And, of course, we've seen in Firefox 2.0 and in IE7, they've built in anti-phishing stuff. I mean, there's a good reason just to install IE7 right there. I put IE7 on all my relatives' machines.
I also think, Scott, before we get too far away from it, that one of the reasons Passport failed or you know, .NET My Services is what we're really talking about. It was just because of timing. There was a lot of, you know, disruption going on security-wise at that time.
Yeah, it was kind of the end of Web 1.0 and the beginning of Web 2.0. The bubble occurred, and it was a fairly disruptive thing. And it was not exactly easy, frankly, to integrate if you ever tried to get Passport to work. The SDK was a little tricky, and just when you got it working, another SDK came out.
Right.
So the real issue here is what the guys at the Cardspace team, and Nigel Watling is one of the guys that's got a, presentation that I'll point everyone to is the idea of identity silo hell, right? You get all of these different silos where you have an identity at one place, but you're not trusted by another. Like Amazon's big and wonderful, and they use my identity for a number of things. I can leave reviews and comments. I can buy stuff, but I can't use my Amazon identity or my reputation and use it somewhere else.
So let's talk about CardSpace.
Okay. So CardSpace is basically an implementation by Microsoft of an open and specifically non-proprietary way to represent identity. It's open and non-proprietary in that it uses the WS *** technologies. It's done with web services using SAML assertions, using WS MEX. It's called WS Metadata Exchange. I like to call it WS TexMex, but people don't like that joke. And using WS Trust.
Scott, I know that anybody can say this is an open standard and then still exploit it for their own personal benefit at the expense of others. So is the real test is anyone else besides Microsoft using it?
That's a very good point. So, of course, this is an example of something where Microsoft's done the first and perhaps thus far the best implementation of it. But people are already getting excited about this. So, for example, the guy, Kim Cameron at Microsoft, who really promotes this, who runs identityblog.com.
Brilliant guy.
Up at shrinkster/JKM, M as in mom. He runs a blog based on PHP. So in a kind of an unusual move by Microsoft guys, he ate his own dog food and built a PHP implementation of InfoCard.
Huh.
So if you have Card Spaces on your machine, the Windows implementation of Card Spaces, then you can go up to his blog and you can sign in, and it's using all PHP, no Microsoft stack. So the idea is that you would go up to his blog, and in this instance, you would be using IE7, and then you'd have the .NET Framework 3.0 on your system. Remember that IE7 is going to get pushed out as a high-priority update to everyone, and the .NET Framework 3.0 is going to be an optional but recommended update. So I think more and more we're going to see this. It's also built into Vista. So although it's unfortunate that 3.0 is not going to be a high-priority update, we are going to see this pushed out to a lot of people's machines. You go up to his blog, and then you visit a regular HTML page. If you did a view source on this page of the HTML, you would see an object tag, right? An object tag is the kind of thing you would use to show like a Flash object.
Right.
In this case, the object is an information card that's saying, I have some requirements that you're going to need to give me. So just like you, for putting a name and password together on an HTML site, you would say input text equals password, input text equals, you know, type equals text, and they would put in their name and their password. In this case, within the form, there is an object tag.
I love the Elastigirl thing. What's that all about?
Oh, on his site, he uses Elastigirl from The Incredibles to represent his very flexible implementation of CardSpace. So if you basically click on this object, the browser will pop up and launch whatever that helper is. So in the instance of IE7, it'll launch what's called an identity selector. It's going to launch the Windows CardSpace identity selector. And on Windows or on Vista, you're going to get this kind of curtain of death, this kind of gray transparent curtain will drop, and a CardSpace identity application will launch up and let you select a card. And in this context, a card is a kind of a client-side certificate.
Yeah, that's a good thing to clarify, that it isn't necessarily a physical card, although it can be stored on a card.
That's a very good point. The CardSpace cards are basically kind of a client-side security token that are going to allow you to fulfill some claims that the site will make.
Yeah, it's like a metaphor for
exactly.
A credit card or something.
It's like handing someone a card, because like if I go to, you're in Connecticut, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm in Oregon. So if I go to Connecticut and I get pulled over and I show the cop my Oregon driver's license, why does he trust me? He trusts me because Connecticut trusts Oregon.
Right.
So he says, well, I don't know you, Mr. Cop, and Mr. Cop, you don't know me, but I know Oregon and I know Connecticut, so we trust each other because we trust this third party.
Yeah.
So InfoCard uses that card metaphor, that idea of here is something that I have that is attached and issued by someone that we both trust. A lot like SSL works, right?
Mm-hmm.
I visit your site, you use a VeriSign SSL card, and then we have this trust relationship.
Right.
So you've got this object tag on your HTML page, and it's just coded like a regular object tag, like a Flash tag or any tag that uses object. And it has a certain type that says, something, something slash info card. The browser associates whatever the identity selector on your system, in this case, the Windows Card Space UI, and it pops up this curtain of death. And the reason I point out the curtain of death is because this is a new separate desktop, because you don't want to let any card loggers or evil things that are kind of snuck into your system, anything running in the tray or some malware. So this is the similar technology that they're using in the user access control stuff in Vista. They're basically running this in its own universe, in its own parallel world on your machine, its own desktop context. So no other applications get to get loaded in there. And it's running in a very limited trust. It does exactly what it does and no more. So we're trying to prevent phishers being able to get into that space and futz around.
Yeah.
That you select your identity or you create a card. There's two kinds of cards. You can have a self-issued card. You basically create your own cert. And there's a little security token service on your machine that basically issues the card to yourself. So this would be the equivalent of writing on a piece of paper, I'm me, and then using that as your identification.
Right. If somebody wants to trust you, they can, but they don't have to.
Exactly. A site would have the choice to say, I'm only going to deal with one that is done with a managed card, and the other kind of card is a managed card. Now, I'm hoping that not only will Windows Live or Windows, you know, the Windows Live is the rebranded Windows Passport, they'll, of course, implement this, and people who have passports will automatically get CardSpace cards. But I think like Visa, American Express, these big kind of places that manage our identity, they will issue managed cards. So if you trust Visa and I trust Visa, then we'll have this relationship.
And it's interesting because then your credit card becomes more usable as a source of identity.
Exactly. Well, one of the things
like a license is now visually the credit card can electronically.
Right. And if let's say I'm going to buy something from Franklin's Net. Right now I go online and I make a login and I register and it's all name and password. Then I would give you my credit card and I've got two choices. Either I can let Franklin's Net store it without any understanding about how you're going to choose to store my credit card.
Right.
Or I just give it to you each time and I have to fire it across the internet. And I have to keep updating you on things like the expiration date.
Yeah.
And if I did a managed card, rather than me sending you the credit card number, I could send you the managed token, this managed security token. And then you could talk to Visa. And they wouldn't have to give you the credit card. They could just say, oh, this person has decided to pay you $10. Here's the confirmation number. And credit cards could be removed entirely from the process. So the number doesn't exist.
Yeah, and all the transactions happen behind the scenes at Visa.
Exactly. And it's all done in a cryptographically significant way. So this identity selector, back to what you were saying, is like, well, who else has done this? So there are already starting to see identity selectors for other browsers. There's a Firefox one written in Java at shrinkster/JKN. Right now it works on Firefox 1.5, but I'm sure he'll update it. And there is one for Safari at shrinkster/JKU. I think that as more and more people realize that this is not a Microsoft thing, this is an open WS star.star standard, that they're going to start creating these, I think we'll see all the major browsers supporting an identity selector in various ways. I've found the CardSpace one, the one that's built in with Windows, to be very flexible. Right now, you do have to store your cards on your local machine and you can move them from place to place. So I've basically exported my cards and then imported them back at home.
Yeah.
But in the future, a version of CardSpace is going to support using your USB key as a kind of a token and then saving the tokens on that key. So then you would have no store on your local machine, but you would be able to log in on any machine and then say, oh, well, here's my identity. So you'd basically be using your USB key, like you just said, as a smart card. So it would be a poor man's smart card. And certainly that would be much more ubiquitous than a smart card itself.
This is another thing that came up in my conversation with Kim Cameron on .NET Rocks, which is, you know, RFID tags. And, you know, and as soon as I said RFID, you could hear the hair on the back of his neck bristle. He said, RFID is not a security device. It's not secure. Anybody with an RFID reader can walk up to you with your fob and read what is coming out of it and then give it an answer. And so there's no cryptography. There's nothing.
Exactly.
Have you seen people going around with laptops with RFID readers and RFID units or whatever they call them, reader, broadcaster, or reader, writer, I don't know. And they can go up to like a Prius, which uses a, you know, I'm giving away that people can hack my car now, but uses an RFID tag on the fob. And they can just sit there and within an hour, they can not only get into it, but they can start the engine.
Right. RFID is just broadcasting a GUID, for lack of a better way to phrase it. I mean, it's in no space, in no way it claims to be any kind of security.
Right.
So yeah, definitely. But the idea that someone could use a flexible token and create something unique to a USB key and turn that into a smart card-like device, that's a powerful thing.
Yep.
Now, there's been also a number of example chunks of code online, whether it be in Java or in PHP, on how to do these things. Mm-hmm. There's an example decoder at shrinkster/JKO, where you can basically see what was sent. They'll actually show you what happened on the wire, because this all happens only under SSL right now.
Right.
And that decoder will show you the assertions in the underlying web services angle brackets. So if you like that kind of stuff, you can see it. And there's a very good article at MSDN at shrinkster/JKP that will explain kind of step-by-step how this works. And actually, the Wikipedia article, I know that Wikipedia is a little dodgy, but at the time that I read it, was quite up-to-date at shrinkster/JKR.
Yep.
Now, so many people are getting excited about this. Now, I had planned to enable DOSBlog for information cards, but
cool.
Kevin Hammond beat me to it by like a week.
No
and
kidding.
He has taken Casa de Hambone. That's his website. It's the Casa de Hambone, and that's at shrinkster/JKS. And he has taken an instance of DOSBlog, and he has enabled it for info cards. So this could really change the way people do identity over over blogs. So leaving comments, and he also now uses that information card to log into the administration of his blog.
Wow.
So in this case, no password being required. So Kevin has enabled DOSBlog using this personal private identifier that is sent as one of the claims. Basically, when you're sending an information card, you can insert a series of claims in that object tag that say, here are the requirements. You might say, I'm going to need from you an info card that has first name, last name, personal private identifier, and your email address. And each of these claims is described using a URI, right? A uniform resource identifier.
Yep.
And you just list these things out in your object tag saying, these are the things I'm going to need. And that personal private identifier is actually unique to the card and the site. They're actually using some of the information within the SSL certificate to hook you up with the site. So if I visited franklins.net under SSL or hanselman.com under SSL, mm-hmm. I would get a cryptographically significant and different personal private identifier. So that unique ID couldn't be stolen by a phisher because it's different on a per-site basis.
Ah,
starts to get interesting now, right?
Yeah.
So, for example, we have an application here at work that is a name and password kind of a thing, but we also have this notion of a single sign-on, the idea that you might have some other external system that's going to manage your identity. So we can put in unique identifiers that are, we call them aliases, and a lot of single sign-on systems do this. They're basically saying you can log in with your name and password or one of these alias identifiers. And a lot of systems that have implemented this alternate identity can just take that personal private identifier and use that straight up as an alternate way to log in. So the kind of thing that I think you'll see are sites that include the support for logging in the classic way or in the info card way. So I could envision
right.
a time when I might go to Amazon one day, log in with my name and my password, and then go to my main account management page.
Mm-hmm.
Say, associate an information card with my account, send them an info card, and then they would take that private identifier, that personal private ID that's unique to Amazon because it's a combination of some of the stuff in the SSL certificate and some of the stuff on my certificate, and it's going to stick that number. I think it's like a 32-character long kind of GUID-like thing. Stick it in their database, and then I could actually shut off name and password support. I would say, I don't want anyone allowed to log into Amazon anymore by name and password. Info cards only.
Ah.
Then it starts getting interesting, right?
Yeah.
Now, that's just with a self-managed card. One of the things that self-managed cards don't really support is the notion of revocation. This is the idea that you want to cancel your card when someone steals it.
Right.
Now, if Amazon issued cards from their own security token service and they said, well, you have an Amazon identity, so we're going to give you an Amazon card, just like they would give you an Amazon credit card with the mm-hmm. Amazon logo branded on it.
Mm-hmm.
I could go to Franklin's Net and say, hey, here's my Amazon card. And if you have a trust relationship with Amazon, you could use these WS Trust web services to actually ask Amazon, do you know this guy? When I hand you an information card. And you would say, and I need these claims. I need this guy's first name. Are you going to provide that to me? Mm. And Amazon would say whether or not that was cool. But if I had done something naughty and Amazon had maybe revoked my card, you could say, I'm sorry, Amazon has revoked your card, just like browsers now can revoke SSL certificates.
All right, so I got two questions. Number one, this is all fine for browsing, but these things will work in physical form as well, right?
Right. So more and more, they're going to have support for storing these tokens on secure fobs, on whether it be any kind of thing that could potentially provide more context.
So like, could you envision a day where you would be able to check in at an airport a lot faster if you have an info card?
If you had like an identity set up on like Alaska Airlines or on United and you'd associated an information card, if I had that info card on some physical thing, and they of course would have to decide whether that was USB or smart card or whatever, I could see where I would be able to go to a kiosk at an airport
yeah.
and give them this cert. And because it is a real certificate that can identify me as being totally unique and guaranteed to be me, and then maybe apply some additional information, because security is not just about what you have, it's about what you know.
Right.
So the more factors in the authentication, the more legit. That's why ATMs have the card that you require and the PIN number.
And the PIN. And the second question is, do you foresee everybody trying to be a card provider, just like every business in the world wants you to think of them as the end-all, be-all in all services? You know what I mean? So get your ground round credit card, get your mobile credit card, get your Ben and Jerry's credit card. You know, it's like ridiculous. And if that's the case, doesn't that sort of defeat the whole purpose of having a universal card?
Yeah, I totally agree with you that having everyone, like, you know, your local Safeway grocery store and give you a card is lame. And I know, I mean, I've got like 6 different tokens on my keychain.
Yeah, I don't want 150 tokens, and I won't have to, yeah.
And I think that the public will make that decision. I think that, wow, there are companies that issue hundreds of different kinds of branded credit cards. I know I had a Yahoo card for a while. I think that people will eventually kind of decide that there'll probably be 5 to 10, you know, the obvious players. If everyone gets up behind this, there'll be Google Identity, there'll be Live.com, Amazon, and people will decide that. What really becomes interesting is when Google decides that they'll accept Microsoft cards. And again, we're not talking about the format. We're talking about the authority to issue them.
We shouldn't have to rely on trust relationships between providers in order to have access to things. And that's really bothering me. Like, I would want one provider, and I would want everybody to trust it. You know what I'm saying? I would want American Express to be my provider. And I want everybody else to trust it. And then I don't have, oh, I'm sorry, sir, you can't stay at this hotel because we don't have a relationship with Google or whatever.
Sure, but that's part of reality, though. I mean, I don't like going to, like, Costco. You know, Costco, the big wholesaler, didn't take debit cards for the longest time. They didn't take Visa. They didn't take MasterCard. They only took American Express.
Yeah.
That's just part of business. I think that same problem is going to happen within the card-based space, is that people will just decide that, you know, we won't accept this certain kind of card. But I think that the pressure from the public will, for a clean approach to identity, will eventually make sure that everyone decides.
Yeah, and it's going to have to. I mean, like ATMs, you've got, how many networks are there for ATMs? But every ATM machine recognizes all of those networks, but there's only a handful of them, right?
Well, but, you know, every once in a while, though, you'll get penalized in some way. I hope we don't get to that.
Yeah, I really hope that this works out so that, you know, the consumer wins, and not it doesn't become a battle for the mind and heart and mind of the consumer.
At this point, I don't think that'll happen, but no managed services have come out yet, right? I mean, there's not a whole run or rush to come up with your own managed token service.
Right.
I think it's going to be probably this time next year, but the hardware, the software will all be ready by then. I mean, Microsoft's implementation of it is just the first step. It's getting everyone else to get stoked about it, right? If it's just a thing that works in Vista, that's not going to be cool. So like right now, it works in Windows 2003. It works in XP if you've got .NET Framework 3.0. If people are able to download a tiny certificate acceptor within Firefox, giving alternative browsers the ability to do this kind of stuff, then it's going to become a lot more palatable. Yeah. And, you know, interestingly, I really think it's going to be the blogs. It's funny. I mean, just the fact that Kim Cameron's got a PHP one, that Kevin Hammond put together a DOS blog one and just today set it up so it'll work in 1.1 or 2.0 with a pluggable identity provider. Isn't it funny how the people who have no money and run blogs are the ones that do these things first?
Yeah.
And then the people with lots of money like Amazon or Google will do it later.
Yeah, interesting.
It's definitely going to change the game, though. And I think for banking and for protecting your identity, it's going to be invaluable. For my industry, it's going to be fantastic. It's just going to be figuring out what the easiest way to get grandma to run an information card is.
So what's extended validation?
So EVSSL is a kind of certificate that I blogged about recently. And you can see that at shrinkster/JKX. And this talks about the kind of the evolution of SSL certificates and how right now, if I visit franklins.net and I see a little lock up there because I'm under SSL, right there, that lock says the information is encrypted on the wire.
Yeah.
But people have started to associate that lock with a sense of trust that, oh, if I see the lock, it's okay.
Right.
But that doesn't necessarily imply I'm looking at franklins.net. I could be looking at Franklin's Evil Fisher.
Correct.
You know, .net. So EVSSL is a new kind of extended validation, or what they call high assurance SSL certificate. And these certificates are a new kind of certificate. It's an emerging standard. We'll see it probably be ratified in the next couple of months. It's supported in IE7 now. There's an example. You can go download it, and you can see it at woodgrovebank.net. And basically, if you visit a site that has one of these extended validation certificates, your address bar is going to turn bright green. And you're going to get an additional lock that's going to shift back and forth between the name of the organization, not the URL, but the actual name of the organization that certificate is for, and then the certificate issuer, and it'll kind of cycle back and forth.
That's at woodgrovebank.com, by the way.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, my bad. Hang on one second. Yep, you're absolutely right. It's woodgrovebank.com. And if you have installed the test certificate, you'll see in IE7 that address bar turn bright green. It's just an example of what the certificate experience will look like. And what that means to like a bank or any kind of an e-commerce site is that they're going to have to go through some additional auditing to prove that they are, in fact, who they say they are. Because like I just got a certificate for Hanselman.com from GoDaddy.com.
Uh-huh.
I think it took, I don't know, 10 minutes to get an SSL certificate hooked up. I mean, it was crazy. I just went up, got the cert, asked my ISP for a request, confirmed that I, in fact, own the domain, and I had a cert.
Use instantssl.com, $30.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's easy to get secure wire access, but they want to make it more difficult to say that I am, in fact, you know, Woodgrove Bank or Hanselman Bank.
That's right.
And I think that within a year or two, we're going to see all of the different browsers supporting that. Firefox has indicated that they'll support it. Opera has indicated they'll support it.
Usually they're using like Dun & Bradstreet. You know, you have to have a DMB account, and that's an easy way for them to verify your address and all that, blah, blah, blah.
Right. They want to prove that you're a real organization.
They used to come out to your site and take pictures. Did you know that?
Did they? Like auditing?
Yeah. They used to require that they would have to come out and take a photo to make sure you are who you say you are.
Now, see, some people think that that's not fair to the little guy. They're saying that that's going to make it more difficult for the little guy to...
Well, they don't do that anymore.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So there's a number of different things that people should be checking out if they want to learn about InfoCard. There's a great video up on Channel 9 at shrinkster.com/JKW. And
cool.
They can also learn about protecting your identity online. There's a good kind of things that you can do and bits of information about yourself that are low, medium, and high sensitivity at shrinkster/JKT. And then you can also, like I said, learn about EVSSL at my blog at shrinkster/JKX. And a lot of people have been commenting that they think this is a way for the certificate authorities to get rich by requiring an expensive certificate. And I'm not sure that I think that's the case, but there's a good conversation going on in the comments up on the blog there. So check that out. And a reason that EVSSL makes sense in the context of InfoCard is that both of these things are giving an entirely new visual cue and visual metaphor for what it means to visit a secure site. So there's going to become kind of an expectation on the part of the users that just as they look for that lock, they're going to start looking for that InfoCard. They're going to start looking for that bright green address bar and that new warning whether or not a site is secure. And I think it's conceivable that there'll be a time when browsers will come with a default that will only allow certificates that are of this higher assurance. So not something that's going to happen tomorrow, but it'll definitely happen in the next year or so, I think.
Awesome. Well, hey, Scott, that's a show. Thanks a lot. What a great show.
Thank you.
I don't know what else to say about it. It's a great topic, and I can't wait to see it evolve.
Yeah, I really encourage people to check it out. Go install the .NET Framework 3.0. I'm running the September CTP, but you can also get the RC1. September CTP is a little bit newer, but you can check all of the stuff out about CardSpace at shrinkster/JKQ up at netfx3.com. And we'll have all these links up on the Hansel Minute site.
All right. And until then, we'll see you next week on Hansel Minutes.